I think now it would be great to get some financial advice. We've been going through a series on heaven. Heaven touches so many different aspects of our life. And tonight we're looking at heaven and money. Heaven and money. And if you're a visitor here and you don't come regularly, we don't often talk about money, but we do find that if we're going through Jesus' words and if we're reading the Bible, then actually money comes up quite a bit, because money comes up in our lives quite a bit, and God's word is relevant to our lives. And so I hope that what we read tonight will be both encouraging as we seek to surrender our finances to the Lord, challenging as we seek to get that perspective right. But I do hope that you remember this wonderful meal we've shared in. I was thinking as I was just getting ready to open up this scripture that we've had a whole debate, haven't we, on the economy the last week. Did anyone get a chance to hear the debate or see some of it? Or yeah, a few folks heard a bit of it there. And you've got Gordon Brown saying he's the expert on the economy. If you do this way, then that will be better for getting things going. You've got David Cameron saying, actually, no, that's not going to work. That's what's got us into all this mess. No, this way is the best way. And and then Nick Clegg saying, don't listen to either of them. They both got it wrong. And and that's how it's been kind of going. So who knows best in all this financial stuff? Who knows best? Well, we're going to hear from a financial advisor like none other, an economics expert of the most superior standing. In fact, here is one who not only was before all things, but is going to be after all things. He's from everlasting to everlasting. This one who we're reading about in Matthew chapter 6, page 971, is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, come to earth, the maker of all things, the one who doesn't just sort of have to sort of plan for the future. He knows the future. The one who isn't just encouraging us to think about what a gift. He made everything. It's all in his hands. And this is also not someone who is maybe wanting your vote or wanting your permission to govern or wanting to get a little bit on the side as he gives you some financial advice. No, no, no. This is the King of Kings. He doesn't need your vote. He is the King of Kings. This is not some financial advisor who's looking for you to give him a little bit on the side. He owns everything. And he is good and true and honest and loving. And he is for you and I so much that he died for us. So he's got some advice for us, for our benefit, for our good tonight. Do you want to hear it? Here it is in Matthew chapter 6, page 971. We're going to read these verses, and I might even just get us reading on, because you just see some of Jesus' heart for us as people. He says this, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." And because I know that this whole area of finances and money and stuff is things that can actually can be a source of anxiety for us at times, I want to just read on, because this is the context of what Jesus has to say as well. He says, therefore, in light of what I've said, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, about what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more, much more valuable than they are? And the answer is, yes, you are. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? The answer, none of us. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Let's pray and ask that God would open our eyes to see wonderful things in his word. Jesus, we thank you that you're so practical. You know what our lives are full of, what they contain. You yourself became a man. So, Jesus, we want to listen to you tonight. We want to hear your advice, in fact, your command. And because you're the king and we can trust you, we want to obey you. We want to do it. So help me, help us. I invite you, come, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning's message is all about choices. In fact, this evening's message is all about choices. This morning's was the choice as well to say we need grace. But this evening's message is all about choices. And I want to get straight in and say the first thing that Jesus tells us we need to choose is we need to choose your bank. You need to choose who are you going to bank with. Now, a bank is a place where you store things. It's a place that, when we've stopped sort of slagging them off, as often happens in the press at the moment, it's a place where you store things. And Jesus is not against storing things. He isn't against banking. It's a good word if you're a banker. He's not against banking. He's not against investments. In fact, he thinks that it's really important to think about where you store things and where you bank. Store treasure, he says, but store it in the right place. Look what he says in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Jesus sets up a contrast. It's not between Barclays and Lloyds, or between a bank or a building society. It's not between stocks or bonds and which is most secure. No, Jesus' perspective is slightly bigger than that. And it's timeless advice. And he says this, there are two options. Either you store it here on earth, or you store it up in heaven. Two options, either here or earth or in heaven. You can't store it in both. You can't store it in both. And Jesus, in this in earth sort of category, he would lump into that. You know, let's have a think here. He would lump into that in that category, your building societies, your stocks, your shares, your under the mattress, your piggy bank, you know, you're in your wallets, you're on your mantelpieces, wherever it is that you kind of hide your money. Those would all come under Jesus on earth category. And then there's heaven, which we've been thinking about in our series. So I want to do just a simple table. I'm an engineer by background. I sometimes like things to just be clear. And here we go. We've got a little table right here for us. And see if you can see these things there in chapters 19 and 20. In earth, you get moths. In heaven, no moths. Bad luck for the moths. On earth, you get rust, particularly in Brighton and Hove. My little car is getting some rust on it. In heaven, no rust. In earth, you get thieves. In heaven, no thieves. Earth is actually bad storage. Heaven is good storage. You see, in earth, there's no security, whereas in heaven, there's great security. So if you invest in earth, you're always anxious. Will this great investment I've made in this new bit of kit or this building society or this bank, will it really yield and do the things I want it to do? Will it have low returns? It does have low returns. Or if you build in heaven, then there's great freedom. There's great returns in heavenly investments. And I was just thinking about this a little bit. And I was thinking of some of those things that over the years, you know, you kind of accumulate. And see if you recognize any of these. I wonder if you've ever bought any of these. Do you remember that? Floppy disks. Where have all the floppy disks gone? You know, there were millions of them produced, and I was actually looking for something and discovered a whole bunch in my drawer. And I have to say, I don't use floppies anymore, but I've still got a few of them, and they're a bit useless for me now. And then I love to play squash, and I love to play squash. But one of the things I discover in playing squash is that I often break my racket. Because you're playing in this kind of wall thing. And this is one of my rackets that got broken there. And you can tell what a hoarder I am because I kind of thought, well, maybe I'll keep it. You never know, you know, teaching your kids to play or something. So I kept my broken racket. And you know, and then I put on a birthday list to get a new one. And I was waiting for my new racket. Got my new racket, which my parents gave me. Fantastic. Isn't that nicer? Look at that. And this one I played with for a while. And then I broke it again at the top up here. And I'm not a really bad squash player, by the way. I just really hit the ball quite hard. So I broke that one as well. But again, I kept it because you never know. It might come in useful. And I didn't bring my other one. I broke. But things get broken here. Things get broken here. And then things just become kind of sort of surpassed and outdated. And do you remember these? You know, proper cameras that you used to put films in. Can't even remember how they work now. Do you remember? Anyone got any film? Yeah, great. Well, you know what? This is my wife's, and as I was coming around, she said, if anyone would like it, you're welcome to have it, because we don't use it anymore, and it's still sitting in our house. So there you go. You're welcome to have that. And I was also just looking around, just different things I've got, and I thought, this gift day's coming up, and Lord, I'm praying, God, just guide us in our giving and provide in wonderful ways. And one of the things that we've got sitting around our house is a very cool. See, some stuff is outdated, some stuff's broken, but some stuff is really useful and, you know, and it's good and cool. This is a Pogo, which is a special kind of Polaroid printer for mobile phones. And it's very slim line. It's actually the kind of the smallest one you can get. And my mother-in-law was given this because she does quite a bit of traveling, and it's a really useful, you know, just to be able to slip in and sometimes just do a postcard. But it didn't work on her mobile phone. So then she gives it to us, and I'm massively technically savvy and all that kind of stuff, but we haven't used it for over like 6 months. It's just sat on a shelf, and I bet it's brilliant. So I was coming out, I was just chatting to Laura, and I said, well, you know, can we offer this to anyone who might want to put an extra £50 in the World Mission Gift Day? And it's like, great. So if you afterwards, if you want a Pogo Polaroid, I'm sure it works brilliantly. And particularly, maybe you've been wanting one for ages. It's better than it sitting in our house. But stuff just sits there, doesn't it? You kind of accumulate it. Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth. I look around my house, and there's so much stuff. I start thinking, oh, what if? What if instead of getting out, we'd done this? It says, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Bank with heaven. And you know, Jesus here isn't just giving us an advice. He's teaching us. He's saying really emphatically, don't store here, but store there. He's not ashamed in any way of being directive because he knows. He knows what this world is like, and he knows that heaven is a way better place to store it. And he doesn't just kind of teach his disciples. He models it, doesn't he? He walks around earth in such an uncluttered way, does Jesus, knowing that it's right to give. In fact, there's bits in Jesus' ministry where he gives his taxes and he gives his gifts to the temple, even though it wasn't run well. And he does this even though he's a poor fisherman, a carpenter from Nazareth. He's not a wealthy man, but he knows this principle that God calls us to give, to be generous. It's amazing that we often store up stuff here and neglect to store in heaven, when the reality is everything you have here gets left. I don't know if you've ever had an elder relative die. My grand died end of last year. And she was still able to have a flat. And if you've had an elderly relative die, you probably are aware that one of the most challenging and kind of, it's just gutting thing to do is to just go back to their flat and see all this stuff that was precious to them. And actually, the reality is a lot of it's worthless. And it's all left. And so even around this very small flat my gran had by then, you know, my parents are saying, well, David, do you wanna take some things? You wanna take all this sort of box of stuff? And I'm like, no. Just maybe one thing to remember my grandma. We don't need all this. We don't want all this. So she left it all. In fact, Rockefeller, the millionaire, died, and one reporter asked another, you know, how much did this millionaire leave? How much did he leave? And the other replied, all of it. All of it. You leave it all. There are no funeral hearses that have kind of tow trucks on the back. They just don't come like that. You cannot take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. You can store up treasure in heaven. So how do you do that? How do you store up treasure in heaven? Well, turn with me, if you will, to Mark chapter 10, verse 21, because this is just one little insight into how to store up treasure in heaven. Mark 21, Jesus encounters a man, a rich young ruler, and you might be thinking, well, Jesus maybe didn't speak loads on giving. I think he was just a generous person around people who were generous, people who gave their gifts, gave their tithes, looked after one another. And then he encounters this rich young man. And this is the kind of thing you see happening in the New Testament, this kind of call to radical Christian living. And so this man comes to him, and verse 20, he says, teacher, he declared, all these kind of commandments I've kept since I was a boy. He's trying to say, maybe like, this morning we were thinking about, there's no grace gap in my life. I've done it all. I'm there. And Jesus says, well, actually, one thing you lack, verse 21. Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. Now, when I've spoken on this before, one of the first things I've said is, oh, don't worry. Jesus is not expecting you to go sell everything you have. And certainly we see in Scripture that that is not the call he makes on everyone. But let's just not move on too fast. Because sometimes he does. I was thinking about this financial advice that Jesus seems to give people, and it's actually pretty risky, some of it. It's pretty risky. And I was thinking about some of what I was going to say tonight and thinking, David, don't be too risky. And then I was thinking, Jesus said this. He obviously would rather err on the edge of riskiness and for us not to be tied to stuff here, but to realize the wonderful freedom in being able to follow him as we give generously. So you want to store up treasure in heaven? Well, give. Give to the poor. Give to the Lord's work. Give to what God's doing. Obey God's commandments. Serve others. Do the tithing thing that is there all the way through Scripture, right back to Abraham, before the law, in the covenant. There's this wonderful picture of Abraham realizing that everything he has is God's. And so he tithes, gives 10% back to God. If you want to know how to start with giving away everything you have, like this rich young ruler, start there. It's like my daughter's learning to bike, ride a bike. We've got these stabilizers. Tithing's like the stabilizers just to get you going in the whole giving thing. Are you tithing? Are you giving to the Lord 10%, the first fruits of what he gives to you? Or is it the leftovers? Oh, how much have I got left now? Oh, it's not very much, unfortunately, because I've brought a whole lot of, you know. I saw this little quote today, it said this: are you giving God what is right or what is left? That's quite memorable, isn't it? Are you giving God what is right? Are you praying and you're looking in His Word and you're thinking, what is right for me to give to you, God, this week, this day, this month? Are you giving God what is right? Or are you giving God what is left? The leftovers. The loose change. This is a church which has taught me so much about giving. It's challenged me and inspired me to not just think about giving some or even the sort of the tithe, but to think, how can I give generously? How can I give to further the Lord's work? How can I give that kind of sort of amount that you just think this is a bit crazy? And then see and discover some of those great joy on the gift day. So I want to commend you. I want to encourage those who are doing this to think, if you're giving what is right, go for it. Keep going. Don't lose heart. Jesus wants to say to you tonight, well done, good and faithful servant. It's stored safely. You don't know the wonderful things that your money has been able to do, but one day He'll show you and you'll just think, yes, every penny invested in heaven was worth it. But those who are not, he want to say, don't you trust me? Don't you trust me? You cannot outgive me, God would want to say to you tonight. You cannot outgive me. I gave you my Son. Will I not also, along with you, graciously give us all things? Romans 8:32. Don't rob God. Give to Him what He's due month by month, week by week, but give to Him in abundance beyond that, just because He's wonderful. So how do you store up treasures in heaven? Well, like the rich young ruler, or like many throughout the Bible, you give. You give to those that are poor. You give to those who are in need. You give to the Lord's work. You give to the spread of the gospel. So what then is treasure in heaven? Well, I think part of what treasure in heaven is just our, as it were, our cup being bigger so that we can enjoy more of God. It's like, in heaven, I think we'll all know the fullness of God. But if you like, there's a difference between a thimble being full, isn't there? And a swimming pool being full. They're very different. And I think there's something of, as we store up treasure for ourselves in heaven, it increases our capacity for God. So that when we get to heaven, there's somehow an ability to, while all of us will be full, some will just know just more of that fullness. And here's part of, I think, what is something of that. You see, in the Bible, God talks about people as His treasure. God treasures people. And so part of, I think, what our treasure in heaven will be that we'll see people who are there because of our giving, because of the way we've released gospel work around the world and in this city. I think one of the exciting things is going to be getting there and not knowing quite. You know, we don't know all the names and all the people in India and the Dalit community that Brother Moses was talking about last week who are being touched by the giving that you and I and many others in churches across the world are doing. But one day we're going to meet them and we're going to spend eternity with these people worshiping God. Wouldn't that be wonderful? What a treasure. And your neighbor, and the people that are being reached right now in the hall, you know, those who've given so that we can release both workers and buildings and facilities so that that takes place. I bet most people in here don't have a clue the names of the people in the hall. But God will probably be at work in their life, and one day in heaven we'll get to see all that He's done. So let's give and store up treasure in heaven. What a wonderful privilege that is. There's a guy called Dietrich Bonhoeffer who wrote a book on Matthew. It's a really a great book. It's called The Cost of Discipleship. As you can imagine, it's a challenging book. In fact, Dietrich Bonhoeffer's life was a challenging life. He was a man in a pastor in Nazi Germany, stood up for Christ and stood against what the government was doing at the time. What do you think it meant? It meant he was thrown in prison and eventually he lost his life. But he wrote this amazing book about the cost of discipleship. He said this: earthly goods are given to be used, not collected. Manna was given daily. Hoarding is idolatry. And I want to just speak just for a moment on hoarding. Because, you know, we live in uncertain times. And there's a right sense of saving and being prudent. And that is good. And we sometimes, teach, you know, on strong on stewardship, you know, the giving 10% and saving 10% and 80% being, there for living off and God being able to bless that. But I just want to say this about saving. While saving is good, there's actually way more in the Bible on giving than saving. And if our saving is so that we don't need to trust God for daily provision, so that we've got our security in that rather than in Him, then I just want to push a bit into this, because I think that might be hoarding, not just wise stewardship. If we're in the place where we're not looking to need to trust God for His provision, then we need, just need to think carefully about what's going on. So I want to just throw out some possible things you might want to think about in these days leading up to the World Missions Gift Day. You might want to consider cashing in an ISA so that you can give to the Lord's work around the world. That's something in the past that we felt the Lord lead us to do. You might want to think about whether there's money you've set aside maybe for a new car or a new holiday, even a new home. And just say again to the Lord, Lord, is it this or is it that? It might be that there's money He wants to release in that way. It might be, and we've done this too, it might be that you need to do a bit what I've just done. Go through your house and think, do we need this? Do we need, what could we actually give or sell or do on eBay that might get another 100, 200, 500 pounds for kingdom work? 500 pounds. You can pay with 500 pounds for not just one Indian evangelist to go and reach villages, but two Indian evangelists to go and spread the gospel work. And there's stuff that might just be sitting and you don't need. So we've got a few weeks. What can you and I do between now and World Missions Gift Day as we seek to just see the Lord's leading in how we can serve Him in our giving? So that's the main thing I wanted to say. Store up, not treasure on earth, but store it up in heaven. Hey, the thrill of it. There's nothing more exciting than the thrill of giving. And maybe if you've done that, if you've known that, but maybe you've got compassion fatigue. I sometimes get compassion fatigue. What I discover is the best way to get over it is not actually to pull back from compassion and generosity. I find that to get over compassion fatigue, I just need to love more and give more. And then I recapture my joy and my thankfulness for all God's done for me. So, just want to encourage you in that. So secondly, choose where your heart is. You notice that Matthew 6, as we go back to that, it says this. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Choose where your heart is. Not just choose your bank, but choose where your heart is. This is a real clincher in Jesus' mind. We had to store treasure. And when we store it, that place becomes important to us. You know, those kind of buried treasure here, and it's something that's special for you. And so as we invest treasure, we take an interest in what we've invested in it. You see, as we put our money somewhere, as we invest the things that matter to us, then our heart catches up with that. It follows the treasure. You might be thinking, well, David, you know, I love the Lord. You know, I was baptized. You know, I said, you know, I'm all for Jesus. And, you know, my giving will catch up eventually. It's just a bit of a season at the moment I'm going through. And it's often the way, you know, people are baptized with their kind of wallet as far out of the water as they can be. But you're kidding yourself if you think your money is going to catch up with your heart, because actually your heart will be following your money. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, Jesus says. It's like He knows from seeing all things from the beginning to the end of time. He knows what our hearts are like, and He knows. It's not even a question, maybe sometimes. Where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. So you want your heart to be for God, for His work, for His kingdom, invested in heaven, Jesus says. In fact, I'm going to give you a little gift now. It's not an expensive one, but it could actually be kind of transformational in your life. Some of you will have seen this before. This is a little printout of some key principles that are a great book on giving that Sean and I love to pass around. In fact, we offer it free to all any new member who will read it. We offer this book free. So if you've got one on your shelf and you haven't read it, then shame on you. Give it back. And if you haven't got it or you haven't read it, we can get you a copy. But this is the key principles from it. And some of the folks are just bringing around some little piece of paper. Maybe a couple of people could just help them as well. Just a few people could step up. Thanks, Tim. Thank you, Esther. That's great. And then we could just do that a bit faster. But here we go. Six key, what are called treasure principles. I think we got these up on the screen as well here. This little book just simply makes that point. You can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. And here are those treasure principles really taken out of Matthew 6 primarily. Not to, that heart follows treasure. Okay. Hope you can see this. If you don't have a copy, just raise your hand. It says this. Number one, God owns everything. I'm His money manager. Such an important perspective to have on our finance. All His. We're just stewards of it. So when we give, you know, even our tithe, our 10% to the Lord, it's not like the other 90% is ours. No, it's all His. That's just our way of remembering that it's all His as we give to Him in that way. My heart always goes where I put God's money. I love even the fact that it even just reminds me in that second point of the first point. My heart always goes where I put God's money. It's all His anyway. Heaven, not earth, is my home. Series on heaven. Let me remind you, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, heaven, not earth, is your home. So point four, I should live not for the dot. That's this little dot of my life now, my whatever, 3 score years and 10. Maybe God will even give me a bit more than that. Who knows? But what I do know is 10,000 years time from now, I'll be more alive than I am today. And in another 10,000 years after that, and another 10,000 years after that, and by the time we get to like 1 million years, this life here will seem like a dot. And that life that is eternal life will be ongoing. Are you living for the dot or the line? Jesus, the wise financial advisor, says what is actually just common sense, live for the line, not for the dot. Giving is the only antidote to materialism. We live in a very materialistic society. Giving is the thing that will break that stranglehold, and it will be choking your spiritual life. Materialism is like an idol. It will be choking your spiritual life. Giving is the only antidote to materialism. It kind of, as it were, gives it a, I don't know, this is a bit of a male thing, but you know, like those fighting films where you just kind of give a good punch in the stomach. Materialism, if it's coming in your life, just give generously and knock it out. Get it down. Well, get up again. You might have to knock it out again another time, but just literally nail it. And you have opportunity even in these weeks to do that. God prospers me not to raise my standard of living, but to raise my standard of giving. Jesus says, Matthew 6, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So I'd recommend that you get this, fold it up, it's easy, just a bit of paper, and put it in your pocket or your wallet or your purse or your handbag, and hopefully it will come out at that point where you're just about to buy some stupid thing that you really don't need, and you'll think, hang on a minute, I've got better things I could do with my money. So grab a hold of that. Okay, let's keep moving. Matthew chapter 6 goes on, and it says this. It says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Well, what is all that about? How come that's here in the middle of this bit on giving and our what we do with our money and how we store it up in heaven? Well, what's happening here is, having just talked about where our heart is and the direction of our heart, Jesus is now comparing our heart sight with our eyesight. And he's saying, if your heart sight is good, if your eyesight is good, then your life will be light. And if it's not, it'll be dark. You know, we even use the phrase, don't we, that someone's eyes were green with envy. That doesn't sound good, does it? But this materialistic world we live in, and you don't have to spend long in particularly the Western world, but now it's pretty rampant all over the world with just media being so prevalent. You don't have to spend long to realize that actually we live in a society which thrives on envy. And if we want to deal and get our heart and our life right, we need to make sure that our treasure and our heart is in the right place. Where your treasure is, there will your heart also be. So I want to leave that one with you and just briefly just pass over really this third and final point, which is simply this. You've got to choose who you serve. Jesus says, verse 24, no one can serve two masters. We might like to think we can do a bit for money and a bit for God. No, you cannot serve two masters. Every life has only one master. And so Jesus says, either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Who are you serving? Who are you serving? Just look at this table up here. I don't have time to go through it all, but look at it. You serve God, you give more. Be more content, more secure, more dependent on God, you'll be free. You'll be able to invest time in seeking God. If you're serving money, you'll want to get more. You'll be discontent. You'll be insecure. You'll be dependent on money. You'll be trapped. You'll be investing time seeking money. Jesus, well, his life was all about serving God. There was a freedom to it, a lightness to it. And he wants to challenge us tonight. Look, who do you want to serve? It's way better serving God. It is a delight serving God. Money is a rubbish master. It will chew you up and spit you out and leave you for nothing. Serve God. Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Choose you this day who you will serve. But I beg you, don't serve money. For your sake, Jesus would say, for your sake. He loved you too much to tell you anything but the truth. Serve God. Let's pray. Jesus, we want to start by just saying thank you. Thank you because everything we have is from you. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the gift of your very life, your death for us, so that we could have even the hope of eternal life. Lord, give us that heart for heaven, that we would invest there, that we would store that. I pray that for myself, Lord. Protect us from compassion fatigue. Lord, thank you for those who've given so generously and faithfully over the years. Lord, pray, encourage and inspire them even in these weeks ahead. Lord, may they find joy again as they see you, the faithful God. You are no man's debtor, Lord. I pray you'd provide for us so that we may give. Thank you even tonight of hearing a story of someone's job who just is more secure than it was looking a few weeks back. Lord, thank you for that. Pray for those who are still facing those insecurities at job, Lord. May they know that in you is the ultimate security. May we hear your word. Don't be anxious. And then may we believe and obey your word, which says, do not store up treasure on earth, but store it in heaven. For we want our heart to be with you, King Jesus. Amen.